1 John 5, verse 13. I want to repeat this verse, but I want you to keep your finger there. As you're turning to 1 John 5, 13, let me just tell you the Christmas shoe boxes are out there on the table. And as you leave this morning, you can get one of those. Maybe you want to get several. I don't know. Whatever your custom is. And we've been doing this for a number of years, and it's been a great blessing, I'm sure, to the children. It's surely been a blessing to those of us who participated. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," let me just back up on that, "and that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Father God, we do thank you for your love and your mercy in our lives. We thank you for all the things you so freely give to us. We thank you for your consistency, your faithfulness. We thank you, Father God, that you don't wait on us. You take the initiative, and you have come in the person of Christ to show us, to speak our language, to show us what grace is, to show us our example, how far we fall short of the grace of God. And then you've opened up heaven's door that by simple faith in the risen Christ, we can come in right relationship to you, that this great atonement is worked through in Christ. It is finished. Our salvation, this gift of God given to us free, is finished. Lord, this morning as we hear, there might be those that need to come to this altar and pray. Pray for themselves, pray for others. Lord, maybe you're speaking to someone's heart this week about moving their membership here to Calvary, whatever it might be. Lord, maybe first time profession of faith. Lord, as we move through this service this morning, we expect your word not to return unto you void. We expect it, Father God, to prick hearts, and you would gather up and draw unto yourself those who need to make that good, open, public profession of faith in Christ. Today, even today, may that be the case. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy. Be with us now. Lord, we would see Jesus. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Phoebe Palmer Knapp was a person who writes music. It always marvels thing to me how people can do that. They can just sit down and work things through on the piano or whatever, and they can get these tunes, and they can get this beautiful music to come out from their hearts and from their minds. And she had been collaborating with a friend of hers, Fanny Crosby, and she had this new tune. So she got together with Fanny, and they sat down, and they played the music. No words, just music. That was Phoebe's part. The words were Fanny's part. And so she plays the music. And so Phoebe says to Fanny, "Do we have any words for this music?" And Fanny said to Phoebe, "Let's play it one more time. Let's see. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation." And the words just flowed out. Never stopped. Wrote that song in just a few minutes. It's kind of a popular song. Have you heard it? "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." You know, in this postmodern culture, what that basically means is that we live in an egoistic time. We live in a conceited time, a self-centered time. We're self-absorbed with ourselves. Our society is a narcissistic society. We produce narcissistic people. The song's refrain says, "This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." I suspect that for many in our day and our time, when they think about "this is my story," that changes or morphs into "this song is all about me. Jesus is mine. This begins to get a spin in our heads, and I can make Jesus mean anything that I want. He's mine. When I call, he comes. When I say go, he goes. Just, you know, that kind of an idea that Jesus is mine. We possess him, and that we're Lord over him. Jesus becomes kind of a usable celebrity for pushing pet projects, perhaps, or building business empires called mega churches or whatever it might be. We use that name, but sometimes we don't have the allegiance to the Lord Jesus, but we use the name. You know, the good thing about Jesus, I suspect, in these kind of celebrity endorsement kind of things, is that they don't have to pay him any royalties. They can say, Jesus, 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 and do their thing and do whatever, but they don't have to pay any royalties. They can just pocket all the money in their own selves. Well, vegetarians say we're in danger of eating, especially red meat. So they ask, what would Jesus eat? Overlooking the fact, of course, that he did eat meat. Environmentalists might say, as they're driving along, that when we're using these SUVs, I know Otis has got one. It's a beauty. You're killing the planet, so Otis, did you know that? You're killing the planet. So they ask, what would Jesus drive? Implying that he wouldn't drive an SUV, overlooking the fact that he didn't drive a Chevy Volt either. Matter of fact, I think he walked most every place he went. Jonah Goldhagen asked the question, what would Jesus have done? And in this article, the article turns into a very vicious diatribe against the Roman Catholic Church, against evangelical Christianity, equating Christianity with what's all that's wrong with the world. Well, that's the kind of world we live in. It's narcissistic. So when we sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, we need to clarify what Jesus we're talking about, obviously. We need to make it clear who we're talking about. We're talking about the Lord of glory. When we're talking about this is my story, we're talking about what Jesus did in our lives to transform those lives. We have to make that clear because we're living in such an upside down world. We need to make sure that people understand we're talking about the second person of the Trinity, the living God who came in flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We need to make sure that people understand that Jesus, the Jesus we're talking about, is the Old Testament promised Messiah come. When we talk about Jesus, we need to let them know that this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of Fanny and Phoebe. This is my God who I'm talking about, the ever-living God, the God who is almighty, who's created everything that there is. The very breath that you take, he gives to you freely. Well, we're living in a time of high anxiety. They're talking about economic collapse almost every day. And we see these things happening all over the world. Riots in Greece and Spain and all these kind of things. Terrorism all over the place. The spectrum of another world war is just right there. It's right there. And this time, it's not going to be conventional. It's going to probably be nuclear. It's kind of frightening, isn't it? Kind of frightening. But this is not really new. People of previous generations feared some of these things, if not all. But they also feared something else that we have forgotten about. They feared for their soul. I believe we are so distracted by material things, conveniences, who's hot and who's not. All entertainment all the time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We have reality TV, which is really what? Fake TV. But we've got no perception of the needs of our soul. We have no perception that there's a spiritual aspect to life. We've reduced everything down to the most base things in life and said these things are the most important things of all. And of course, at the same time, we'll talk about family and children and those kind of things that have importance, which of course are intangible, aren't they? They're none of those things. Fearing for our souls. We disdain the question. We try to avoid it. We're trying to outlaw speaking about Jesus in public. We're trying to, in the workplace, minimize any kind of spiritual contact that anyone would have. But we still can't get away from the anxiety that we have. We can't get away from the emptiness that's inside. Because you see, I believe that all my heart, that there's inside each and every one of us, in our spirit, there's that place reserved for God. And until we fill that with the Lord God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never have real peace. We'll not be satisfied. And our hearts will always be anxious. We'll be carried away by every wind of doctrine. Everything that's bad or anything that's frightening or dangerous, those things will be just overwhelming to us. Well, how can we today know the strength of our salvation? And I, you know, we do a Wednesday Bible study at the nursing homes and things like that. And Rodney and Dell on the Wednesday morning service over at the harbor, we sang Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And I couldn't get that out of my mind all week long. I kept thinking, Lord, what can I preach about Sunday and what might be relevant and all those kind of things. And I just kept getting this song. And I kept thinking to myself, listen, we don't preach songs, although it's a pretty good song. But I thought, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It's a preview. God's got something better, even more full, even more magnificent. But that initial experience we have with Christ, that's a foretaste. That's just a taste, just a little bit of what God's got for you. He's given to you right now, but he's got something even greater, not too long down the road. I thought about this song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. This lady writing that song. Bill, did you show the picture of Fanny Crosby? There she is right there. Do you know that Fanny Crosby was blind? She had an illness when she was a child, and they put some sort of mustard plaster on her eyes, and that blinded her for life. So now here's a lady who can sit down, hear something on the piano. And she starts out by saying, blessed assurance. I would think you might start out by saying, how did I get blind? What's wrong with me? Why has God been so unfair to me? All those kind of things would be a natural reaction. I was sighted when I was a child, and through incompetence and through ignorance, the doctors blinded me, and now they can't make me unblind again. Now I've had to go through my whole life in this condition. She could have said all those kind of things, but she said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know, in 1 John, in the first chapter, verse 4, John says this, and these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. That's an odd thing. Listen, I'm writing you this letter, John says, right up front there. It's just what there in the fourth verse. He says, hello, everybody. Everybody doing all fine? That's great. The Lord bless you. So, hey, let me just tell you, I'm writing this letter Because I want you to know so your joy might be full. I went back in that little epistle and I looked and I underlined every time it says, we know. And then I got to, as I was reading that, I saw, it also says, know ye. So I had to add the we knows and the know ye's together, because the we knows and the know ye's are saying the same thing. We know something. We know something. Bill, can you put up 1 John 5:13 again? We know these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. So now at the very beginning of the letter, John says, I want you to know something, that your joy may be full. And then he begins to end the letter by saying, we know that you have eternal life. Now you might say to yourself, well, what is it? Do we know that we have eternal life, or do we know that our joy should be full? Well, it's both. It's both. They're like Siamese twins. You can't separate them. When you know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, then there's going to be a joy that fills your heart. There's going to be something that the world can't measure. You can't measure it either. About you and how you're going, living about your life, even in the midst of all this stuff, this chaos that is the world around us, all this uncertainty, all this gloom, despair, and agony on me, that we can have joy because we know that because we placed our faith and trust in Jesus, we have eternal life. Isn't that a magnificent thing? So, blessed assurance. That's what Fanny's talking about. This is a sweet thing, she says, to know that I am his and he is mine. That I place my life in Christ. And because I place my life in Christ, no matter what comes in this life, he's still Lord. And he's Lord hereafter as well. So we know. Now, how do we know? Well, let me just turn you back to Romans chapter 10, if you have your Bible open. And you need to look at this. Don't take my word for it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, what's it say? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name of the Lord. What does it say then? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just want to share with you a few things this morning about this blessed assurance that we have in Jesus. When we place our faith and trust in Christ, we have a blessed assurance. Now, a lot of people don't feel like they have blessed assurance. A lot of people say, well, that's not my experience. I'm not sure about all those kind of things. Well, let me just try to draw your attention. Let's start someplace. How about let's start it, our conversation this morning with what the Bible says. You say, well, there's that guy. He's a Bible thumper, and he's going right back to the Bible again. Well, that's okay. I want you to look at the Bible with me. If you don't believe the Bible, then shut the book, take a little nap. It won't be long, and you can go eat lunch in a little while. But this is what I think it's so important for us to recognize. We know, John says. He says that 20 times in that one little epistle. We know. Listen, I know. And you're going to say, boy, he's going to be arrogant here in a minute. He's really going to do it. He's going to be so presumptuous that God might strike him down for what he's about to say. I wanted you to know that what right now I want to say to you, I know I have eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord, because I've done what the Bible says to do. I got down on my knees. I confessed my sins. I asked Christ to come into my life and be Lord of my life. And guess what? He did. Now, maybe you say, well, experience. That's your experience. You probably had a bad bologna sandwich. And so you got restless in the middle of the night there. You got your New Testament out of your locker over there in Korea. You read a couple of verses. You said to yourself, I don't know what I'm reading here. I had a couple of guys that were witness to me about who Jesus was. And so this baloney thing got you all stirred up. And so you said this prayer and you said these things, but it doesn't really matter. That's just your experience. It is my experience. Oh, I didn't have a bologna sandwich. But listen, my experience in Christ is going to be somewhat different from Otis's experience in Christ. There are some things that are common, but it's going to be slightly different. Otis's experience in Christ is going to be slightly different than Dennis's experience in Christ. There's going to be some common things there. There's going to be faith. There's going to be repentance. There's going to be calling upon the name of the Lord. There's going to be all those kind of things. But the experience is going to be a little bit different. I got up from the side of my bed. You see, you know, I was just an apostate Presbyterian. And so, but the one good thing about it, the Presbyterians, they said, if you get serious about praying, get on your knees. So I got on my knees. Listen, I could have been standing up. It wouldn't have made any difference. But I got on my knees and I called upon the name of the Lord. I confessed my sin. And to the best of my ability, which wasn't much, I asked Christ to come into my life. And I got up and I started reading the New Testament. Now, no thunder, no lightning. The roof didn't fall in. None of those kind of things. That was my experience. I read about years ago, you ever hear people say that? If I'd go to church, the roof would fall in on me. Have you heard people say that? I've heard people say that. I read about this about 5 or 6 years ago, that a guy did go to church in Florida, and the roof did fall in. Now, they didn't say that he got on his knees before God and said, oh, God, forgive me. He didn't say that. I don't know what happened, but. But see, my experience can be different from your experience. I just got up quietly, started reading. I've seen people come to know the Lord who, when they get up, they're so excited. Sometimes they even say stuff like, hallelujah. See, I didn't have any religious background, so I couldn't say hallelujah. I did say thank you. Sometimes these folks get so excited, you know, they come rushing to the altar. They won't even wait for the preacher to have an invitation. They just come. Now, I've never seen it, because, you know, I'm Baptist. So I've never seen people jump over the pew. But I've heard that people do. I remember over here when the flood happened years and years ago, there was a church over in New Haven, and we went over there to see if we could help them a little bit. We were looking about trying to put some drywall up for them. They were interested in what they might have lost during the flood. I thought, hymn books? Bibles? No, it was snakes. They had a box of snakes over there. Now, listen. I'm not into snakes. I don't even like them in my garden, you know. I don't care anything about that. So my experience is different that way. My experience is much more sedate. But listen, Listen, it doesn't make any difference how loud your horn honks. It doesn't tell you anything about how much gas you got in the tank. These things are subjective to each and every one of us. So if I'm saved because Jack says, Mike, I believe that experience I had similar. Okay, great. But Dennis says, no, no, no. You guys, if you really got the Holy Ghost, you'd get excited. You'd jump a few pews. You'd play with snakes. You'd do something. That's Dennis's thing. No, it's not Dennis's thing, but anyway. So we compare experiences, and because our experience is different from somebody else's experience, we want to say, not good enough, Pete, not good enough. Listen, if that's what we went by, we'd be in trouble. Because everybody has a slightly different experience. But it's not the experience that saves. It's the promise of God that we appropriated from His Word. You know, the Bible says something about God cannot lie. Did you know that? Let every man be a liar, but God's truth is always true. God cannot lie. So our experience could be a little bit different. How about, I've heard people talk about remembering, and we don't do that here. I'm glad, you know, Rhonda or Vondell or somebody doesn't play that little thing every now and then. You know, was it on a Monday that you received Jesus? Remember that old song? I remember that song. I'm glad it doesn't matter if I can remember whether it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday. It doesn't matter. It's not dependent upon whether I can remember what day it was. I do remember it was during the middle of the week. Could have been Wednesday, could have been Thursday. I don't think it was Friday. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Monday. But I'm not sure. It wasn't the evening. And I know it was in August because I just had my birthday. I remember I got down beside my bed and prayed. I remember Chet, my houseboy, had just changed the sheets and everything. They smelled good because I put my face down in my bed. I remember when I was reading that little Spore Fisher Laws track, that when I was looking up trying to read that, and I could read back then without my glasses, I was trying to read that I saw a little spider walking across the wall. I remember that. And I can just tell you all kinds of other details, but I can't tell you exactly. So, if my memory is faulty, does that mean that I'm not saved? Of course not. It doesn't have anything to do with my memory of the thing. You know, there was a guy who went to the doctor one time, and he says, Doctor, you know, I think something very serious about it. I'm feeling really bad. I can't hardly remember anything. Doctor says, okay, sit down and tell me all about it. He said, tell me about what? If it was on our memory, we might be in trouble. What if you had some kind of concussion? What if you're in a car accident and you lost your memory? Would you not be saved? No, 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 no. It's not dependent upon your memory. It's not dependent upon your experience. It's dependent upon the Word of God and what God said in the Word that He did through Christ. That's what it's dependent upon. God who cannot lie. That's our assurance. Feelings. Somebody goes, I really feel wonderful today. Sometimes I don't feel wonderful. I heard somebody just not too long ago say, you know, I'm feeling pretty good today, but I know I really should be feeling bad because pretty soon I'll be feeling bad. I thought, my, that's really negative. Rodney, is the cup half full or half empty? I don't know. That's bad there, isn't it? Listen, I'm glad she was feeling good. But she was anticipating feeling bad, and since she was anticipating feeling bad, it was throwing cold water on what she was feeling good. But I don't care about that. Some days you're going to be feeling pretty good about things. Some days you're not. But it doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. Now, if you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life, and tears rolled down your cheeks, that's an emotion, isn't it? That's a feeling. That's good, fine. But it doesn't depend upon that tear down the cheek, does it? It doesn't do that. No. Can't remember the day there are. Can't remember the feelings. Can't remember the experience. Well, I was hearing something not too long ago. This person was sharing with me about an angel of God who spoke to them. You know what my first experience, my first thought was on that? Oh, gosh, we're really going to go off the rails now. Because almost every time I've heard that an angel said something, an angel said something to Joseph Smith. An angel said something to Muhammad. An angel said something to this lady. But Paul says in Galatians, listen, he said, even if an angel of God speaks to you about another gospel, let them be anathema. So I'm not really concerned about what the angels have to say. I'm concerned about what their boss has to say. I'm concerned about what God has to say. So if Angel Gabriel comes to you and tells you something, if it doesn't line up with that word, then don't believe it. Don't believe it. Now, fortunately, most of you probably haven't had any angelic visitations of late. That's good. You've got something better. That's the word. You know, not too long ago, somebody was telling me that they bought a new car. I said, fine, excellent. What kind? Da-da-da-da. And, okay, cool. And what color? Da-da-da-da. All right. You like it? Yeah, yeah. Where's it at? Oh, I haven't picked it up yet. They're going to clean it and all that kind of stuff. Oh, so I said, you bought a new car, but you don't have a new car. Well, yeah. He said, but I signed the papers the other day, and I'm going to get it tomorrow. And he you know, showed me this piece of paper. He says, it's right here in black and white. I purchased a da-da-da-da. Cool. All right. You know what he was saying to me? He was saying to me, because I've got it written down, that means tomorrow when I go to pick up this car, it's going to be mine. I hate to tell him, probably him and financy. But anyway, it's written down. It's written down in black and white. Don't we like stuff like that? We want to sign contracts all the time. We want people to sign on the dotted line. We want it to be written down. We don't want to, no, a handshake's not any good anymore. We want it written down. People still try to redig when they write it down, don't they? Some of these athletes sign a contract for 4 years for $20 million. That's not bad. You know, I would think I'd be okay with that. And about the third year, they want to renegotiate that contract. They don't want to fill that last year out. They want another $20 million for the next 3 or 4 minutes. You know, but we like it to be written down in black and white. Over in John, chapter 3, verse 36, it says, wait a second. Look in John chapter 3, verse 16. In verse 16, which I'm sure you could probably quote that, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved Mycharis that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that if Mycharis would believe on him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. It's written down. Now, I don't know about your Bible, and you might be able to read it from there, Heidi. I don't know. It's written down how in my Bible? White, and what's the color of the print? Red. It's not written down in black and white. It's written down in red. That don't count. Well, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Heidi, can you see this one? What color is the ink? Black. There it is, black and white. There it is in black and white. Listen, we have assurance because God has said and written it down for us in black and white, even red. Mine has a red leather edition. What God has said, and God cannot lie. That's why we have blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Dennis, come sing with me. Or let's try it. Anyway. Bill, put those words up. Let's just sing this first part. Ready? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit. What? Washed in His blood. Blessed assurance. Mark, come sing with us. Rodney, come up here. Can you come up here? I know it's a little hard for you. Put some WD on that knee. Come up here. Keep her there, Bill. We're starting to get some guys that can sing now. Okay. All right. Start us out, Dennis.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
That don't sound too bad, does it? That don't sound too bad. Otis, come sing with us. Come on, sing with us. Otis says he used to sing with a Philharmonic downtown. We're going to put him to the test here. Cody, come up here. Come on. Come on. You spoke up. Come here. Come on. Come on, Cody. Don't take all day. We don't have all day. Probably over time. No, we got 2 minutes left. Come on.
I'm counting down.
Counting down the minutes. Yes, sirree. All right. Let's do it, Dennis.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
Hey, we're starting to get the hang of it. Starting to get the hang of it. Yeah. Rhonda, come sing with us. Lucas, come sing with us. Chris, come sing with us. We get a couple good voices. Bert, come sing with us. Elsie, come sing with us. That's a good idea. Becky, come sing with us.
Come on, Becky.
Mom, I see you laughing too.
Hey, we got a piano going.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
That's pretty cool. Stand with me. Let's sing together. Let's sing it like we mean it. Ready? Dennis.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
Let's sing it.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Is there another verse to that?
Perfect submission, perfect delight, Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Can you imagine these two little ladies sitting down at the piano and writing that song? You know why I think they could do that? I think because the Spirit of God moved in their hearts. When you sang that song, did the Spirit of God move in your heart? Rodney picked that out Wednesday. It's a good one. We have blessed assurance because Jesus has died for us on the cross. He's been raised again the third day that we might be justified in our faith in Christ. Heavenly Father, we live in an uncertain world, dangerous, unseemly, wicked. But in the midst of all that, there's this beautiful, wonderful gift of God, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Father, as we go from this place today, we're your royal ambassadors. We're the declarers of that truth. Oh, we might say we'd like to have better ability to be able to proclaim that truth, a better voice and all those kind of things. But we'll never proclaim a better truth than Jesus is Lord. Let us go from this place today. Our hearts full of joy, because we've given our hearts and our minds to Jesus. For it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.